Come, come and sit by my hearth. Warm your hands at the fire and your soul with some scotch. That's my favorite, but I do have more to offer you. Rest a while. Allow me to share with you a few stories, and I would love to hear one from you. My words will weave for you a tapestry of life. I will show you spirits without time. I will show you ancestors who, very much like we are now, shared stories around a fire. I will show you how those spirits and ancestors have led me from discovery to knowing, and from knowing to following. Discovering? Knowing? Following what, you ask? The answer is simple. My path. Welcome to Runewalking in Modern Times. Hey, welcome back to Runewalking in Modern Times. I hope your April of 2023 has gotten off to a great start. Mine has gotten off to a very snowy start. I appreciate you spending some time with me today and for your support of the podcast. I do this for many reasons. I do this for us. I do this because at some point in our lives, we have all felt like something was missing. We've all felt like orphans without a home or a place we fit in. We have all hated our bodies for various reasons. We have all felt hopeless. We have all felt a longing for freedom. We have all been on the edge of the cliff, on the edge of extinction. My connection with the runes has brought me to a deeper understanding of myself. This has allowed me to interact in different and more meaningful ways with everything around me. It has assisted me in finding my own path, which is constantly evolving as I experience life. I hope that the experiences I share can help others to discover, know, and follow their paths as well. One significant and impactful theme that I believe needs some attention, it can be summed up in one word: sanitized. Merriam-Webster defines sanitize as a transitive verb to mean, one, to reduce or eliminate pathogenic agents, such as bacteria, on the surfaces of something. To make something sanitary, as by cleaning or disinfecting. Two, to make something, such as text, more acceptable by removing, hiding, or minimizing any unpleasant, undesirable, or unfavorable parts. I'm going to read that one more time. Sanitize. To make something, such as text, more acceptable by removing, hiding, or minimizing any unpleasant, undesirable, or unfavorable parts. I bet you can't guess which one we're going to talk about. As someone who provides psychic and intuitive readings, I, like most other genuine readers, can get uncomfortable when the message coming through is anything less than triumphant and joyous, especially when we first begin reading for others. That wears off over time when you honestly begin to feel and see that being out of integrity with the message can fuck with the message and you. I'm going off script, by the way. Now, to get back to the script. To be real, though, most people seeking readings are doing so because something is going wrong or feels wrong. Right? Not right. Right. This is where the sanitizing comes into play. In this instance, a reader can or may feel so uncomfortable that they fumble and can potentially fuck up the message by trying to make it less uncomfortable for them. Not the person being read, the person delivering the message. This can even manifest as the reader not acknowledging the issue or skating right past it. This is not helpful and can bring up the concept of integrity, to be honest. Pun intended, by the way. The funny thing to me, for a side note, is that I've also seen this happen on the opposite side. What do I mean? I've personally had it happen where a reader told me I was cursed and that we could remove the curse together if I had more money. Back to the topic at hand. No one wants to be the bearer of bad news, and yet, if it goes unsaid, the problem will never get resolved. It's a simple confirmation divination that can help settle the case if the reader wants to check to ensure the accuracy of the message. Sex. Sex is another topic frequently scrubbed clean and dunked in bleach. Why? Oh, I'm sorry. Why? Wait. Why? I get why. I was raised in a very conservative religion. No premarital sex, no masturbation, just cookies, jello, and service projects. All of those I see now are prime pickings for sexual jokes. Why do we lower our voices and speak in hushed tones about flowers and birds and bees? I will admit that when I bring up a few ideas centered in the mythologies of the North, I've seen folks get a little uncomfortable. Or a lot uncomfortable. Here is one that I personally find hilarious. Whether or not it can be really not substantiated, but maybe found applicable. At Ragnarok, the end of the world, Thor fights Jormungand. Jormungand is the world serpent. It is one of the monster children of Loki and Angerboda. It comes from the shapeshifters and the Jotun. It is everything, allegedly, that the Aesir, or Aesir, are trying to conquer. Thor is half Jotun and half Aesir. The Jotun half is what gives him immense power, and yet the part of him that is always trying to be denied. The raw, natural, sexual, instinctual part of him. So, I find it funny that Thor has to kill the monstrous serpent. I hope you just got the phallic reference to that. Another Thor idea may be this. In this spring, Thor, as god of thunder, lightning, impregnates his mother, Jord. I need to say that again, don't I? Thor, son of Jord, impregnates his mother in the spring. She gives birth to him, and the cycle continues over and over. A similar and what we would call incestuous idea can be seen with Freyr and Freya as siblings who are also consorts that bring about spring with their copulation. I am going to be completely transparent. That's as far as I got. That's as far as I've gotten in writing this episode. I don't love writing them, but I do find it helps. So, where do we go from here? Sex. We've dealt with that. Divination. Kind of dealt with that. Where can you think of? Could something have been sanitized? We can definitely jump into the ruins. This one makes me a little crazy, folks. So, are there good runes and bad runes? Are there white runes and black runes? Are there dark runes and light runes? Ugh, that binary is exhausting. And not one that I believe belongs imposed on the runes. The runes are raw and natural. Their power doesn't come from our imposition of our ideas upon them. In fact, the one thing I see with them is that they're trying. That's the wrong way, word too. When working with the runes, I believe they actually can help us strip down all of the bullshit that has been put upon us so that we're more natural, we're more aligned, and in that we find ourselves very similar to the beings of that are called the runes. So, for example, Sawilo or Sawilu. This is a rune of light. So, victory, light, victory, enlightenment. And for those of you who have gotten a sunburn, you know that too much light from the sun can be dangerous. Last year, year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, wow. My dad had melanoma. He's blonde. Little toe-headed kid running around rural Utah. Over the years of repeated exposure to light that is the sun, he has formed these small cancer cells. So, light, right? Sawilo, enlightenment, light, blah, 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 can also be dangerous. Now, let's talk about which other rune should we talk about? Maybe Berkana. That one came up in a conversation I had tonight. Berkana, the rune of the mother, growth, nurturing, and also discernment. What happens if the growth and survival of the family were at risk because one of the children was born and would have been a strain on the family. That's a very ancient and horrible idea for most of us today, because we live in societies where that's not a problem. Our ancestors didn't have that luxury, before you start judging me for saying that story. They didn't have the luxury. What happens when growth and nurturing from a mother turns into protection, and she protects her children with a knife? We probably haven't thought about that one, have we? What happens when Thurizaz, that is destruction and chaos, deconstruction, is needed? We have to break down things to be able to make them into new things. We see this, well, I do. I actually see this room connected to Fenrir, not necessarily the Thor, but that can happen too. This wild consumption that destroys everything. Everything in its path, like some of the tornadoes we've seen recently, this week even. Thurizaz can also be deconstruction. The pulling apart of things that need to go. Pulling apart of ideas. The pulling apart of fabricated worlds that no longer need to be there. Destruction is completely the foundation for creation. Are there other runes we could get into this with? Laguz? Laguz is a rune of water and flow. What happens when that flow is a dam breaking that washes out everything below it, including towns? What happens when it's a trickle of water that has found its way into a crack in rocks that creates the next rock slide? Do you love that flow? Would you love that flow if you were standing in the rock slide? Probably not. Sanitizing things, ideas, thoughts, mythologies, beings, so that the unpleasant, undesirable, and unfavorable parts are removed, doesn't help us. It doesn't help us see the truth. It doesn't help us engage with the truth. It doesn't. Actually, let me stop. The only thing it does is keep us separated. It keeps us separated from the things that can be real. The things that, God, for the most part, are nature. The things that we see as chaos and unexplainable. The other day, I had a very short conversation with someone, and I'm not going to say that they were incorrect. I will just say this. I will tell you the story and you'll get why it's part of this episode. I was talking to someone who was looking for, we were looking at these small figurines that were centered around, like, how do I put this? They're called Baphomets, right? So it's like a little tiny Baphomet that is a cute little figurine. And so they have them of owls and cats and all kind of other things that are witchy or whatever. I think there was even a Cerberus, the three-headed dog. Cerberus? That's not my pantheon. Apologies. So there was that. And then there had also been an Ouroboros, which is the serpent in a figure eight eating its tail, or with its tail in its mouth. So we were looking at them, and I was asked if, I wasn't asked. The person said to me, "Hey, I would like one of your Mungans." And I said, "Well, it didn't come in that figurine. But, you know, we did have the Ouroboros, which is the infinity symbol serpent. Well, that's your Mungand," was the reply. And I was trying to be nice. I'm like, well, I mean, not really. It's the Ouroboros, you know. And they were like, "Well, what's that?" And I'm like, "Well, figure eight, serpent, tail in its mouth. Yes, that's Jormungand, and it represents life, death, and rebirth." Folks, that was a new one for me. You know I am all about UPG, and everyone has their own experience. And I will say, in my experience, that is something I've never encountered. So, to continue, I said, "Let me look that up because I don't actually know what tradition that comes from." So, you know, I wave my magical phone and Google it. It came up as something that was Hindi, also Egyptian and Greek, I believe. And one of the interpretations was that it represents, the symbol represents whole or unity. And I could see that. So I went back to this person and I explained, "Oh, hey, I looked it up. This is where it comes from. This is what it means." "Well, in the Norse, it really means life, death, and rebirth." I was being probably as patient as I could be, and I didn't want to be rude. So I said, "Well, you know, your Mungand is a monstrous child of Loki and Angerboda that the gods feared so much that Odin took Jormungand, they took them, and put them around, you know, the oceans of Midgard to keep us in and keep the others out." And so that, you know, that's from my understanding the story. And that, it still didn't really go through. And I couldn't help but wonder where that had come from. For them, life, death, rebirth. Jormungand is part of the battle at the end. But not the keystone of the battle. So I'm still having a hard time with that. Connecting to that idea. Not that it's wrong. However, I do feel like it's a sanitized version that also allows it to be universal and I want to also say that because it's been given the idea of life, death, and rebirth by this person, there's a denial of death. There's a denial of the things that we don't want to look at, the monstrosities, the thems, the both, the things that we see that are unpleasant. The things that we see that are undesirable or unfavorable, not even we, just certain people. Yeah, there's a denial of a lot, I think, within that concept. It also, honestly, you guys, it could be that death is the end. I've had experiences that have led me to believe differently. That doesn't mean that I wasn't being fucked with. So, just kidding. I really wasn't. I trust my gift. And I do feel like there's a bit of a denial of death in assigning Jormungand life, death, and rebirth. So, what are your thoughts? What else do you feel like is sanitized? What else do you feel like has been made to look prettier or left out because it's not pretty? I'd love to hear what you think. You can let me know by going to my website and sending me a message through there. The website, you guys already know, runewalker.com. Also, there, you'll find a couple of other things, such as runeware or other t-shirts. You can also find past episodes of Runewalking in Modern Times that are available by series for download. You can also find a page booking a rune reading with me if you'd like. So, thank you again for listening to Runewalking in Modern Times. I appreciate your time today and your patience with me, half scripted, half unscripted. Maybe my unscriptedness is my own personal fuck you to the man. And to the sanitizer and to the cleanser that removes all of the dirty things and all of the unsavory things. Those things that actually remind us that we are alive and part of a bigger cycle than we could imagine. Thank you again. And I hope that your weird is filled with health, wealth, strength, and virility.